Hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode of your favorite YouTube channel and podcast. Keep that same energy podcast with your host Justin P and my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, my co-host, your co-host, Mr. Marvy Savage Jr. This is episode 225 for the YouTube version. For the audio version is season 5, episode 49. It's almost Excuse me, about to be almost about to be season 6. So, you know, the audio version is right there in the description below, right along with me, myself, and Maurice's social media, you know, platforms where you can follow us as well. Make sure y'all like and subscribe. Oh, man. So, you know, Maurice got a pretty good show for y'all. Sorry, we've been a little absent. We want to definitely, you know, at least try to give y'all at least one show a week. That's the, yeah, hey, you have our word on that. You might even be on Monday or Wednesday, whatever worked for us. But, you know, we're gonna talk about the NBA play, NFL playoffs, wild card, divisional, and conference championship, and we're gonna talk some NBA and among other things. So, ladies and gentlemen, no further ado, here's the man, the myth, the legend, my co-host, your co-host, the villain or the vigilante, whatever you prefer, Mr. Marvy Savage Jr. Yay, yay!
Hey man, as always, man, it feels good to be back. We're doing this with Big Bro. As always, man, this is a pleasure doing this, man. This is what we do, man. We've been doing this for about almost 2 years now, man. Give you some good products, some good content. We ain't gonna never stop. As always, man, I'm here. We here to give you some opinions. You know what I'm saying? Something that we really think about, something that we almost believe to be true because it is true. And of course, we're gonna hit you with some emotions. But when it comes to sports, it comes from right here because that's where your emotions come from, right here. But at the end of the day, those emotions and opinions don't matter. Unless we're hitting you with the facts.
That's a fact, Jack. But it's 3 years, co-host. 3 years. 3 years.
Oh, shit. 3 years. Damn. My bad about that. We've been doing it for a minute. 3 years. I love it. Keep going strong, baby.
That's all right. What you got for us tonight?
Okay. Topic number one. Give me your candidates or who's flat out rookie of the year?
Candidates for rookie of the year. That's tough. Hmm. It's tough. I haven't really been paying attention to the rookies like that, but let's see. We can go with Victor Wembanyama, of course. He's my favorite. He's been doing his thing. Kayson Wallace for the Thunder. He's been coming off the bench, giving us some good points, good minutes. Who else? The Thompson twins, both of them have been playing pretty good basketball. So, and Brandon Miller. How can I forget about Brandon Miller? So those are my candidates right there. But if I had to solely pick somebody, it'd be Victor Wembanyama by far. Or Chet Holmgren. Chet Holmgren is eligible to win this award too because he ain't played last year. So it'd be either Chet or Wemby. But if I had to take one, I'd take Chet.
Hey, man, good take on that. For me, I thought it was obvious. Even though the topic was candidates, I was straight obvious. It was either Victor or it was going to be Chet Holmgren, straight like that. I kind of thought Chet was going to come back and not be the guy that he was supposed to be. He came back with the beard. He getting numbers. He dunking on people. He stepped back and hitting threes. I mean, he's exactly what I thought he was going to be. I mean, probably a little bit maybe in his like college, what's the name? I was like, man, he too little. He not going, what's the name? And then I had one of my homeboys say, yo, remember Kevin Durant was little like that and got a little bit muscle and became an unstoppable scorer. And lo and behold, you see what the OKC Thunder doing. I ain't got to spend too much on it. But the only reason why I think he not going to probably get rookie of the year because all eyes is set on this unique unicorn, Victor. Well, I can't say his last name, right? I just call him Victor all the time. But we know who I'm talking about, Wamby. But he unstoppable. He's doing hella plays this year. We talking about alley hoops to himself. I mean, going behind your back on Dame Leonard and then dunking on Brook Lopez. I mean, he's doing some 90 shit, getting superstars and star players in posters, crossing them up. He unstoppable. I think the only problem with the Spurs, and even though this is not a conversation about the Spurs in general, he needs help. I mean, he clearly looked like Tim Duncan out there with nobody. I mean, imagine if Tim Duncan didn't have Manu, Bruce Bowen, Tony Parker, Avery Johnson, or even Dave Robinson. Victor has nobody. Nobody. You can't even name nobody else on the team besides this. So by far, they get all their wins because of the guy. Everybody across the world comes to see him, not the Spurs play. So by far, even though those two are my candidates, by far Victor got it, and it's a runaway steal. All right, topic two. Now, topic two, this is going to get dangerous because it's a lot of good players right now and a lot of good players that stepped up, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So, for me, give me your top five NBA MVP candidates.
You got to go Luka Doncic, of course. He's one. You always got to put LeBron James in the mix because he's keeping the Lakers afloat. Nikola Jokic, like you said, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Joel Embiid. And I'll go Jason Tatum, and I'll give you one more. I'll go Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay. I can't be mad at your list. I can't be mad at you. Maybe not Giannis a little bit, only because I would expect them to have the best record in the league. But I got you, because Giannis is still unstoppable. That's why you're Greek Freak. For me, my shit is really in order. My shit is in order who I think should get MVP. Number one on my list is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander by far. I mean, these other guys I'm going to name, they clearly can win MVP, and they're still in the race for it. The season is not over yet. We're just getting to the middle. But by far, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, what he's doing with those guys, I mean, come on, man. It's a complete turnaround. They're playing totally different. The team is looking unstoppable. I said this to you before. I said this on this show plenty of times. I said it to you. If the Thunder get all those young guys healthy, it's a wrap. And lo and behold, it's showing. It ain't no debate about it. I think, to me, they're the scariest team in the league because they give me a Golden State Warriors type vibe. When the Golden State Warriors were young, Steph Curry young, Klay Thompson clone, Draymond Green young, you couldn't stop those guys. And that's what OKC is giving me. And one thing I can say about OKC, and even though this is about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they always seem to draft right and make the right trades to stay in competition. I'm not going to lie. Whoever got something to do with the OKC Thunder, I'm starting to give them, they have the best GM and best scouters of all time. It's not no debate. We're talking about right now, OKC has only been out for about, 15, maybe 20 years, the Oklahoma City Thunder. And they, every time they drafted somebody, was a Hall of Famer. Every time. Damn near every time. I mean, Jeff Green, if he would have kept being good, he would have been a Hall of Famer. But we're talking about Hall of Famers. Of course, KD, Russell Westbrook, you feel me, and Harden. But I ain't going to lie, Steven Adams got a strong case for Hall of Fame ballot. I mean, especially what he did all those years and all that shit. Then we doing it with the Grizzlies. And then you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You just drafted Chet Holmgren. And what's the guy that I couldn't get his name right last week?
Jalen Williams.
Oh, man, another guy. I mean, come on. So I ain't going to stick too long on that because I'll be all day. But the second one, Brunson, I ain't going to lie. Man, that boy Brunson, the Knicks are the hottest team in the NBA right now. It's not even no debate. I think they're on like an 8-9-game winning streak. They unstoppable. They're getting the job done. And it's led by this guy, consistently busting people's asses. Consistently. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I thought once he left the Mavericks, he was just going to be your basic player and this, that, and the third. I thought he was going to be more like a Devin Harris. How Devin Harris, when he left the when he left the Mavs, he went to New Jersey. He just became an all-star and a leading scorer type guy. I thought the same thing was going to happen to Brunson. But no, he got playoff aspirations right in front of his eyes, and he busting people ass. I haven't seen nobody with a left hand bust ass like this and be an MVP candidate since my Celtics, Isaiah Thomas. Number two, Joel Embiid. I think Joel Embiid, if he stopped bullshitting around, you feel me, and stay healthy, I think he could surpass Joker as being the best player in the league and being the best center. I mean, right now he's playing dangerous. The boy just had 70. I mean, if I was his coach, I would have tried to let him get 80, just to tie 81, just to tie it up with Kobe or even surpass him. But I mean, hold your business. And he did that when he dropped the 70. It was on the death of Kobe or Kobe's birthday. It was even one of those two where he dropped the 70. No, matter of fact, it was the day. When he dropped 70, was the same day that Kobe Bryant dropped the 81, because that's what it was. It was the anniversary of the 81 Kobe Bryant dropped. Joel Embiid at three. Number four, Jason Tatum. I mean, my man Jason Tatum is making a strong case for it, but it's too much team going down there with the Celtics where you can clearly tell. Jason Tatum, you're the leader. You're the leading scorer. You're the man to go to. But this team is legit. We just can't say you're the MVP. You're the heart and soul of this team because there's a lot of heart and souls on this team. And number four, Tyrese Haliburton. Oh, my God. The book, unstoppable. I just watched, even though my Celtics won last night, He was unstoppable. It was nothing they could do about this guy. Nothing they could do. And he, of course, he's keeping the Pacers. And that's another team. I think the Pacers are on the same level as the Thunder. Far as the Pacers always have scrubs or good people or superstars, and they make the playoffs with the scrubs, the superstars, and the stars. So, I mean, I got to give credit where it's due. And then last but not least, I can't have this without Joker. I mean, Joker literally can do everything. He's a big-ass LeBron James. I mean, literally, we got a center bringing the ball up the court, scoring from everywhere, and we already know he just hit the game-winning shot last week. You feel me? No hesitation. So those are my top five, and my honorable mention was the Joker. All right. Some more NBA going on. Right now, and I know you probably ain't going, I'm going to let you start off with the West first. But right now, you feel me? We're going to do power rankings. Give me your eight top teams in the West and then follow up with your eight top teams in the East.
Timberwolves, Thunder, Nuggets, Suns, the Kings. How many is that right there?
You said the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Suns, the Kings, the Timberwolves. You got five.
Yeah, Thunder.
Okay.
No particular order. I'm just listing the teams. So six. I get two more. I'll go with the Lakers and the Pelicans. Okay.
I definitely like the Pelicans. All right, what's up with your East? Who you got for the East?
Boston, Philly, Milwaukee, New York,
mm-hmm.
Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
How many is that? Four.
You said the Nuggets, New York, the Sixers.
I already said.
The oh my Knicks bad, my bad, West. My bad. Because the Knicks, the Celtics, the 76ers. You Bucks. Just said the Bucks, and you said the Pacers. You got five.
The Miami Heat.
That's six.
This last two gonna be tricky. Let's go with the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
For eight, you can go with the Atlanta Hawks.
They played good last night too. For me, I got the same exact list as you have, no particular order. But I got the Heat. I definitely like what the Heat did, bringing my boy Terry Rozier over there. I'm definitely excited about that. I'm definitely to see Terry Rozier over there. Got a shot to do his thing. After that, I'm going with my Celtics, of course. I really think this is the chance that they could win the NBA Finals. I think if they do go to the NBA Finals, they probably even going to be playing against the Thunder or Clippers, where they will have a chance. I don't want to see them face the Nuggets. At three, I'm going with the Bucks. They always up there in the top. Only thing I can say is I'm a little bit upset with the Bucks. I assume, because we've seen it happen with LeBron James. We've seen it happen with so many super teams or teams that look super, where you go from being this to straight up number one. There's no debate. I was expecting Giannis and Dame Dollar. I was expecting them to be at least competing for the Warriors record of 73-9. I thought they would at least have a chance at that. So I said Celtics, the Heat, the Bucks. I'm going with the 76ers, of course. After the 76ers, I'm going to go with the Nuggets. After the Nuggets, I'm going to go with the Nets. I'm going to go with Atlanta. And it's tough right now. It's tough right now. Orlando. Because at one point in time, Orlando had the best record in the East. So I got to put Orlando up there. They handle their business. They're doing what they got to do. And Orlando, y'all hear me saying it right here live on the show. Orlando will be in the playoffs this year. All right, when it comes to the West, by far, I think the best team in the West right now is the Thunder. The second best team, in my opinion, is the Clippers. The Clippers turned that thing around. James Harden is almost MVP discussion because I don't know what happened. He's playing like a different game. Maybe it's a West thing. Maybe he got to stay in the West where he can put his numbers up and do his thing. So I got Thunder at one, Clippers at two. The Nuggets ain't never going nowhere because they're the defending champs. I got them at three. The Timberwolves at four, five. The Kings, I'm a huge Kings guy. Watch every day De'Aaron Fox do. At six, I'm going to go with the Suns. Of course, you can't never give up them, especially with having Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal. Good to see Bradley Beal heavy. Number seven, I'm going with the – of course, I got to go with the Lakers. Anytime LeBron James is on there, you got to give credit where it was due. And At eight. I'm going to go with the Mavericks at eight. I like what they're doing. They got a lot of good scorers over there. Everybody can shoot. Everybody handling business. And I think probably my probably besides watching Cat, and it's crazy, I watch a lot of games and shit. Besides watching that Timberwolves game with Cat Williams, had 62. And that was on the same day, the anniversary of Kobe Bryant's 81. The best game I've seen this far, and I think when both of them had 40, Luka Doncic and Kyrie both had 40 in the same game. It was ridiculous. It was a sight to see. They was unstoppable. And then I got to add one more game. When I think Kyrie had 30-something and Tim Hardaway Jr. came off the – well, he took Luka's spot because Luka was hurt, and he dropped 40. So I ain't going to lie. Mavericks got my attention. I'm watching them like a mug. Okay. Next up, I'll start off with you. Give me your thoughts on that first round of the playoffs, the wild card. And you can choose any game that you want.
We can start with Cowboys Packers because that shit was horrible, man. You're the number 2 seed. You had the number 7 seed in your house, like, bro. You gotta win that game, man. And Jordan Love, man, picked them apart, man. You know, over 200 something yards. You know, a couple touchdowns. Dak threw two pick sixes, I think. You know, it was crazy. Aaron Jones had 2-3 touchdowns. Dak and them started moving the ball late in the second half when Green Bay took these starters out. But man, it was a demolition job by the Packers, man. So yeah, that was the game. That was a guaranteed win out of all the wild card games. But it's just the Cowboys being the Cowboys.
Okay. For me to speak on that game, all I was going to say is I'm shocked. I thought this was the game where the Cowboys really get over the hump. I mean, not to even give you a little clown kudos. I mean, but I was expecting you to beat these guys. They didn't have Aaron Rodgers, even though some people that do little jabs and little teep shots. Hey, man, you beat the Packers. It was Jordan Love. He's not Aaron Rodgers. It was no way you supposed to let Jordan Love come in there and tear you up like Aaron Rodgers. And that's what he did. He tore you up like Aaron Rodgers. He didn't come in there and manage the game. He didn't come there and win the game by luck. Things went their way. No, he really came out there playing like Aaron Rodgers. I kind of thought the Packers, if he would have kept playing like how he was, I kind of thought the Packers was going to go to the AFC Championship, excuse me, the NFC Championship versus the 49ers. But this was a crazy-ass game. All I would have to say is overall is, you guys need more wide receivers over there for Dallas because, I mean, after CeeDee Lamb, it was nothing else. I mean, Brandon Cooks give you little shines and little spurts here and there, but we all saw it's nowhere near the same. You should have kept Amari Cooper. If you would have kept Amari Cooper, I think you guys go better. But you guys were so much in a rush to make CeeDee Lamb the man and not realize how good that Amari Cooper was, a good compliment to him. But nevertheless, it was no way that the Cowboys were supposed to lose that game. All right, what's the next game for you?
The Texans and the Browns, man. The Texans dismantled the Browns. Like, everybody swore the Browns with Joe Flacco was going to come and lead the way and just cruise on past them. And C.J. Stroud and company was like, not today. Not today. Joe Flacco threw 2 pick sixes. C.J. Stroud had over 270 yards, 3 touchdowns. Like, they stomped them. Devin Singletary went off. Oh, man, 45-14, man. The Texans, you know, got their first playoff win since 2019. And shout out to D'Amico Ryans. You know, he turned the organization around. You know, everything that went on with Deshaun Watson and the owners and all that other stuff. And Bill O'Brien got that team competitive and got a division title in his first year. And I think that's first of many. But the division going to come out of them in Jacksonville unless Anthony Richardson and Will Levis, you know, step up to the plate. But it's going to be those two teams.
All right, to comment real quick to go off bases a little bit. I'm not going to lie. That's probably going to be the most dangerous division. Y'all, they got too many young quarterbacks who are lights out. I mean, we all forgot about the guy from the Colts. Remember, he was doing his thing before he got hurt. You feel me? And the same thing with Trevor Lawrence. Had to work his way in. C.J. Stroud, he didn't have to work his way in. But to go back to the game, I feel like, first of all, D'Amico Ryan's hands down coach of the year. You did what you did with a rookie quarterback. Your rookie quarterback led the league in passing. He could have also won MVP of this league. And as you said, division winners, and you get a first-round win, and then you get a first-round win in dominant fashion. And mind you now, D'Amico Ryans was a former linebacker for the Texans. So that goes to show you how much his head and his IQ was into the game for them to win like the way they did, 40+14. And then I'm just, that's one last thing I'm going to add before we go to the next game is, let's not forget, Joe Flacco threw two pick sixes back-to-back. Back-to-back. It wasn't like he threw a pick six and he drove down the field. No, he threw two pick sixes back-to-back, which would, which really, with the game was super really over. And last thing I'm going to add before I hand it back over to you, I really wanted to see Browns versus the Ravens. I swear. I wanted to see Joe Flacco play at least one more time in M&T Bank Stadium. And, of course, I wanted him to lose. But I would have loved to see the Browns versus the Ravens. What's the next game you got?
Okay. Rams and Lions. That was the closest game of the wild card weekend, man. Those two teams were at it. Two former quarterbacks going against their former team, Stafford, that won the Super Bowl already. So, you know, Goff probably had the most to prove in this game because, like, you trade me. You felt like I was the reason why we didn't win a Super Bowl because they did get to a Super Bowl with Goff, but they lost. They only put up 3 points. That was a good game. It was 24-23. The Lions, man, Jahmyr Gibbs, your boy from Alabama, who I wasn't really sold on, but he's been balling out this year, man. Amon-Ra St. Brown was doing his thing, a couple touchdowns, but like I said, Stafford came out with Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, Kyren Williams. You know, and Raheem Morris did a great job with the Rams defense for it to have a lot of no-name guys on there. That's why he got the job now with the Falcons, man. So that was the best game of the Wild Cup, prior to playoffs, that game right there, Rams and Lions.
Oh, yeah, by far. I'm going to agree with you on that. I probably would say the last game that Lions played against the 49ers, maybe, but I'm gonna get back to the point. First of all, I definitely had the Lions going all the way to the Super Bowl. That's number one. Let me go ahead and get that out the way. But when they was playing against the Rams, that vibe was coming in like, I think the Rams gonna win this game because the Lions hopped on them early, but then they was at a standstill. I think the Lions only beat them by 3 points or some shit like that. And when technically it could have been a blowout or something like that. But I gotta give Rams credit with his dude, Matt Stafford. He's given us that last of the dying breed quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is next too. But I mean, he was there handling his business, still doing no look passes, still completing it. I mean, I ain't gonna lie to Manoku. I think he done probably extended Matt Stafford years in the league, probably to two, maybe three more years. I'm gonna stick with two though. Matt Stafford handled his business, did what he had to do. It was just that the Lions, this was their year. This was their year to really show that we're going to the next level, and we are at the next level. So shout out to my man Jahmyr Gibbs, of course. Shout out to Jamison Williams. I mean, Forrest. With the Lions and their defense, they came to play. So I got to give credit where it was due. What's the next game you got?
Eagles and Bucks, man. The Eagles were 10-1. And like I said, they only went 1-6 down the stretch. They started getting beat up at the wrong time, switching defensive coordinators. They had lost their two previous coordinators and went to the Super Bowl. They both took head coach jobs, Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon, the Colts and Cardinals. So they had, they had a lot of turnover there. So they had the guy die and Brian Johnson. They didn't live up to the billing. So Baker Mayfield picked them apart, man. They ran all over them. Like I said, Jalen Hurts was the only person that showed up. He had 250 yards of touchdown. He had like 60 yards rushing. But, A.J. Brown, we don't know if he'll be there or not. It's like some turmoil going on with him and Nick Sirianni. The Bucs took it to him, 32-7, man. Baker probably could win comeback player of the year, to be truthful with you. Bucks dominated the game from start to finish.
The only thing I'm going to have to say about the Eagles game, and I don't even really think I'm going to be speaking on the Eagles game. I'm just going to be speaking on the Eagles, period. The first thing I first, no disrespect, but LeBron James, I got to say this. Even though this is football, I got to add you in it. LeBron James, I kind of hate that you brought this. That's like I hate that Steph Curry brought the three-point and everybody wants you. I hate that LeBron James, his final 2 years on the Cavaliers, he said this shit. Yo, we'll just turn it up on playoffs, which was true. He said, when we get to playoffs, we'll turn it up and we'll be in the NBA Finals, which was true. When you said that, LeBron James, you are an influence. Guess what they were saying about the Eagles? Everybody was saying, we'll just turn it on through the playoffs. Mind you now, this team was like 10-1 or some shit like that, 10-1, 10-2. But that's what they said. We'll turn it up during the playoffs. And what happened is, when you turn it up during the playoffs, just like LeBron James was doing, LeBron James was at least winning games before he got to the playoffs. And that fed up and got him where it needed to be. You guys didn't do that. You guys didn't do that. And you had it easy, too. No disrespect. The Bucks got some defense. They ain't no slouch. But you had one of the quarterbacks who got talked about as being a bust and one of the most highest throwing interception quarterbacks of all time. Your secondary is supposed to jump on that. Your defense is supposed to jump on that. And then you as a quarterback, Jalen Hurts, you were supposed to take over that game. This supposed to have been a blowout the opposite way. It was supposed to have been a blowout, not even close. Because this was the game that you were supposed to use to climb up on and go to the next level. I really had the Eagles winning this game and then losing in the next round. However, Baker Mayfield bust your ass. He did what he got to do. And then I think this game helped Baker Mayfield extend his NFL career. Probably going to put a little bit more money in his pocket. And it was a good Eagles defense he did this shit against. And all I'm going to say is, Eagles, you lost the Super Bowl. So how do you have a Super Bowl hangover? What's the next game you got?
Dolphins and Chiefs, who are below 30 out there. You know, Dolphins, you know, they didn't really want to play. They were super worried about the weather. So, you know, the Chiefs just took, you know, picked them apart. Rashee Rice, you know, was catching underneath passes, tearing up the field. Devon Achane and Mostert, like I said, them guys were just ready to go to South Beach and just will party because, like I said, the game in Miami, I think it would have been a different outcome. But like I said, unfortunately, they didn't win the last game against the Bills. So they had to go. Once I realized they had to go on the road and play in that cold, I said, yeah, they done. They done. But, you know, KC did they think Kelsey, you scored. Pacheco ran hard. And the Chiefs defense played been playing lights out all postseason besides the Bills game. So, yeah, they beat them 26-7 or 14 or something like that. So, yeah, the Chiefs won the game. Like I figured, like I said, the Dolphins can't play in cold weather.
What I'm adding to that is the only good thing that came from the Dolphins is that Tyreek Hill got a chance to score against his opposing team, and it wasn't one of them bullshit scores where a double reverse or a two-yard touchdown. Nah, that touchdown he scored was a fucking monster-type touchdown. However, I feel like this. If this was in Miami, the game would have been better. But I think Patrick Mahomes still would have passed, did it was a guy. I mean, come on, look how Patrick Mahomes played in the cold. Imagine what he would have did if he was warmed up playing in South Beach weather. So all I'm gonna have to say is, man, Dolphins, no excuse, man. You gotta step it up. You wanted this challenge. You know you're gonna have to beat these teams. It's just that simple, Miami. You're gonna have to beat the Bills. You're gonna have to beat the Chiefs. You're gonna have to beat the Ravens. And hell, CJ Stroud just made a big case. You're going to have to beat these guys. So put the pedal to the metal, get back on your game, and get where you need to be because this was senseless right here. I mean, you got beat senseless with this shit right here. I was expecting this game to at least go to overtime. I was expecting Tyreek Hill, not to say he didn't take the game personal, but I was expecting it to be more personal where it was a lot of scoring going back and forth type shit. But, I mean, it was more like this. Tyreek Hill, you wanted to leave. And the Chiefs defense said, we know who this guy is. We know how to wait, how he play. You feel me? You may have had that little funny little touchdown, but we're going to make sure you ain't got shit to do with this game. And they did a good job of that. And all I'm going to have to say is, man, next year, Miami, try again harder. And if we're going to use what Big Bro Justin said, we're going to use that excuse. Make sure you get home field advantage. That's all I got to say. You ready for the next round?
Yes, sir. Oh, no, we ain't talk about – oh, it's one game we didn't talk about.
Oh, my bad.
Bills and Steelers, man. Like the Steelers locked up to the playoffs, going to be laid down. Buffalo just, you know, picked them apart. You know, Josh Allen did his thing. Diggs just moved the ball along. James Cook killed him. And like I said, Mason Rudolph was just flat-out awful. George Pickens scored a touchdown, but it was in garbage time. Bills took them apart, 31-17. Should have been 34. But they decided to go for it, got stopped. But yeah, the Bills dominated that game.
All I'm gonna say is this: I mean, as far as on the Steelers, the only upside is, hey, you made the playoffs. That's it. The only upside is Steelers that you made the playoffs. And I knew that you guys were going to play okay, but I knew you wasn't going to win this game at all. To me, this was one of the games exactly what happened. Josh Allen took advantage of a team that's just based on defense right now, and the offense is subpar. Your family and barely can get the job done. You barely got a running game. You barely got a passing game. And it's more like you barely got a passing game because of the quarterback. Because one thing I know about the Pittsburgh Steelers always draft good wide receivers. It's not even no debate. They always have good wide receivers. You literally got a whole bunch of talent and good wide receivers on your team right now, but shitty-ass quarterback play. So I knew this was going to happen. I knew it was going to be a blowout. And I knew Josh Allen was going to do his thing. That's all I got to say.
Okay, all right, let's get ready for the divisional round. The divisional round. Start off with Ravens, Texans, man. Like I said, first half was close because, like I said, we didn't play in 2 weeks, but second half we came out gunning. Ma did his thing, rushed 100 yards, threw for 150, threw two touchdowns, rushed for two touchdowns. So he accounted for all four touchdowns. The defense was amazing, only allowed 200 yards of offense. And 3 points, the punt return, was, I mean, with 70 scores on our punt was on our special teams, which was, you know, we cleaned that up. But, yeah, we dominated. You know, once Lamar got everybody together, you know, and had a little pep talk, we just smacked them guys around. So, yeah.
Well, for me, I ain't going to lie. I thought the game was going to be a little bit closer. And what I mean when I say closer, you know how at the half it was 10-10. I expected it to keep on going like that the whole entire time. But eventually, you know, that defense woke up and realized that's one thing I do love about the Ravens the most. When they play against rookie quarterbacks, I think the only rookie quarterback that ever won against them niggas was Mitchell Trubisky. And he beat them with only throwing three passes out the whole game. But I love how the Ravens turned it up on defensive-wise. That's the reason why I thought the Ravens were going to go to the Super Bowl against the Lions, because I was like, hey, man, even if Lamar Jackson don't play his best, that defense is going to get turnovers, better field position. Devin Duvernay might do something slick or skillful on a punt return or kick return. Lamar Jackson, all you got to do is just get in field goal range or get some touchdowns, something to happen. Way to get the job done, to be tied at the half and then realize, like, yo, we're Super Bowl bound. And that's exactly what they did. They felt they were Super Bowl bound, turned it up a little bit more, and they got in the Texans' ass as they should. Next game.
Chiefs and Bills. That was a pretty good game. 27-24 Chiefs. The Bills rushed for over 200 yards. James Cook had 137 yards. Josh Allen only had 175 yards. But he had two rushing touchdowns and the passing touchdown. Diggs had a quiet game, only like 60 yards. They had a crucial job. And the Bills were depleted on defense, so it definitely hurt them. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes had about 215 touchdowns. Pacheco, 100-something yards. Travis Kelce had two touchdowns. So, yeah, it was a hell of a game, but the Bills more so gave it away than the Chiefs won.
All right, I got to throw this in there. There's some rumors that Stephon Diggs might be gone about it. New York Giants! There's rumors that Stephon Diggs might be out of there. All right, now let's get back to reality. Well, the first thing I'm going to say is this, and I'm going to see if you feel the same way how I feel. We all know Patrick Mahomes is the next Tom Brady. When Tom Brady was doing his thing, Joe Flacco and Peyton Manning couldn't beat this guy. But when they won that Super Bowl, Joe Flacco and Peyton Manning went through Tom Brady to get it done after losing to this guy a lot of times. Lamar Jackson lost to the Chiefs a lot of times. Josh Allen lost to the Chiefs a lot of times, especially in the games that count. So my only thing that I can say is in for hope that at least Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson should at least get one Super Bowl on their way defeating Patrick Mahomes one time. Now let's talk about the game. That's all I can say is, man, they try their best. It's always seemed to always come up short. They lucky during the season that Kadarius Toney was offsides, because they would have lost that game as well. But for me, it's just as simple as that. You always keep coming up short. You always keep coming up a play short. As you said, Diggs dropped a crucial first down. I can't wait to talk about the Lions game, NFC Championship. But, I mean, it's literally like that. I mean, you lost it because of that. And then, for real, I mean, Bills, you got to get that running game going. You play in cold weather. Even if whether you have home field advantage or not, everywhere you're going to play is going to be cold. You got to get that running game together. I know we want to make Josh Allen the MVP and this, that, and third and all that. Do MVP during the season. In the playoffs, you need your running game available, and you need consistent wide receiver play. And all I got to say is Diggs, it's looking bad for you. You still one of the top wide receivers in the league, but you definitely shrunk a lot. And all I got to say is this, man. Josh Allen, one day you will get yours. I hope you do. I hope one day you do get yours, because it's looking real bad. The Chiefs are your kryptonite. You feel me? So, great game nonetheless, but we'll see what happens next year.
Next one's the Bucks and Lions. This was a hell of a game. Baker Mayfield started off good. He was moving the ball. You know, he had over 300 yards passing, a couple touchdowns. But then he threw the pick at the end, the loss from the game. He had a chance to come down and tie it down 8. They lost with 31-23. Yeah, so and they missed the extra, and Todd Bowles wanted to go for two. I don't know why. He just took the extra point and down by even seven. He wanted to go for two. I don't know. I guess he don't even get the ball back, score and win the game by one, but you got to get the stat first. So he that was a little dicey. Jameer Gibbs had a hell of a game. Goff did his thing. Amon-Ra St. Brown did his thing. Jack Campbell's all over the place. So was Brian Branch. Cam Sutton had a tough game because Mike Evans, you know, wore him out, had over 100 yards, and coach touched it. Lions, man, two playoff wins. They had two. They had, they won two playoff games in this playoffs more than a lot. 17 did in 20 years. So definitely shout out to Dan Campbell. We got them boys playing hard.
Well, for me, before I get into the whole in details of the game, I got to talk to the main point of the game, which lost it. Baker Mayfield, who the fuck was you throwing that ball to? That wasn't even close. That interception had me thinking, and I'll talk about. I'm going to save this rigged word later for the Ravens game, but, yo, that almost gave me rigged damn near. He was super covered, and he was double covered. It wasn't no way you can get – I looked at that play over and over again because I got – shout out to one of my best friends, Jay Cruz. I watched that play over and over again because my boy was like, yo, who the fuck was he throwing it to? Who was he throwing that to? He was totally covered. He had a guy over top of him and a guy in front of him. Who were you throwing that to? Baker Mayfield remind me of a worse Brett Favre. That's all I can say. But to get back to the game, here go a game that the Lions could have lost. Lions could have lost this game easily. Lucky for them, they had their opportunities to seal the deal and win the game, and this, that, and third. Shout out to Jameer Gibbs. I thought the game was over when he scored his touchdown, to be honest. I thought the game was over when he scored his touchdown. But, I mean, they were still let up in there. And I got to go with what you said. The math didn't make any sense. If that was me when we scored a touchdown, we're going to get that touchdown to field goal, and then we'll worry about trying to win the game by one at the end and all that shit. But for the most part, you get the points on the board. Because, I mean, if you think about it, you took 3 points off the board. I mean, hold on. You missed both conversions, I believe. You feel? As a matter of fact, you didn't even get a chance to get the conversion because you threw an interception. But, I mean, look at that shit. You ruined your game and you ruined your chances. So, I mean, all I can say is Baker Mayfield, you did extend yourself with a playoff win, playing the way you did. But I think if you would have won that game and took your team to the NFC Championship, we would have been saying Baker Mayfield is back. But once you threw that stupid, ridiculous interception, we all said the same thing. This is the same Baker Mayfield. What's the next game? Well, matter of fact, it's the next division, right? Or next round, right?
No. Packers and 49ers. That was a hell of a game.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan Love, man, was playing great the whole game, man, and they were going back and forth. But blown opportunities, man, through two costly interceptions. Darius Savage, man, he might not be a Packer this year. My brother's a Packer. He said he
Darnell.
Yeah, Darnell Savage. Yeah. He came down. McCaffrey came running downhill at him. He had the tackle. He stuck his arm. I don't know for sure. There's a DB. You still got to get involved and make tackles.
Yeah.
And then he dropped the pick six. So, yeah, it was crazy. Jordan Love, you don't never throw that ball across your body, throw it out of bounds. You get in field goal range. I know you kick and miss one, but you try to get in field goal range, take off, scramble, whatever, get a couple yards, and let them try to tie the game. But it was a good game, man. The 49ers fought back. Like I said, they went down both playoff games, which we're going to talk about once we finish this one. Yeah, it's just, you know, the Packers definitely blew it, man. But, you know, shout out to Shanahan for the Niners keep fighting.
Here go another moment. I'm gonna get into details, but I don't want to use the word rig again. And the reason why I'm saying, you talked about it just now. Who the fuck was you throwing it to, Jordan Love? I remember that play vividly. You threw an interception to a linebacker, you threw it across your body in the middle of the field, and the guy you threw it to was covering, double covering. Here's two back-to-back playoff games with me and you talking about how the guy who was getting the ball passed to him was double covered every time. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if you guys think this is back in the day. I don't know if you guys think that you're really Brett Favre or you're Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, and you're doing that thing where they say throw between the tight window. Because did we talk about two back-to-back games where you threw an interception while the game was on the line, on the game-winning drive, in double coverage. As you said, take the sack. Throw it out of bounds. Try to scramble and get some yards. You just took the whole game away. Two things that I hate. I mean, I'm a defensive guy. Yeah, I'm a defensive guy all day. And I only like it when it's for my team or when I personally am out there on the field. But I hate games that end with a sack. You don't get a chance to throw it unless it's my team, unless it's the Ravens or the Giants. I love it when, but anybody else I'm watching, I don't want it to end in the sack. I don't want it to end in the pick because I want to see good football. I want to see good games. But if I do see a pick, can you make the pick make sense? Not throwing the shit in double coverage. That's all I got to say for that. But I mean, Jordan Love, you played your ass off. You showed that you've been paying attention to what everything that Aaron Rodgers was showing you and was not showing you. You did your thing. You don't even have some of the most talented wide receivers or the best wide receivers. You're doing this shit with damn near practice squad players. You feel me? So I got to give credit where it was due. But overall, 49ers handled their business. 49ers said, yo, we're determined to go to the Super Bowl, and we're not letting anything get in the way. And they did what they were supposed to do. They took advantage. And before I hand it over to you, again, man, we probably not even having this conversation if Darnell Savage get that interception. We probably not even having this conversation. So what's the next division, right? I mean, next round. I apologize.
Yeah, conference championships, AFC and NFC championship games. I'll say the Ravens win for last. The NFC championship was a bang. Lions were up on the 49ers 24-7. Dan Campbell decided not to take two field goals, which would have made the score 37-34, and the Lions would have won by three, but instead he won. He played running but gave ball at the wrong time. I guess he channeled his inner John Harbaugh and ended up losing. For that Lions team, like I said, I think the whole country was pulling for them since they never, ever been to the Super Bowl. There's only four teams left that hasn't been to the NFL, been to the Super Bowl yet. It's the Texans, Lions, Browns, and Jaguars. So, and three out of the four made the playoffs. So, you know, Jacksonville fell short. But, you know, everybody wanted them to make it. You know, Barry Sanders was there, Megatron, Big Sean, Eminem.
Yeah, you know, I saw
it. All the Detroit legends in the house. So, you know, they were pulling, you know, so the whole world was pulling for them. But you can't pass up on points just the playoffs. You can do that in a regular season. Because if you lose, you got next week. In the playoffs, you have to take your points because you lose this, that's it. You clean out your lockers. So, you know, the 49ers always find a way to come back and win. So, to both playoff games, they were down, came back and won. So, you know, kudos to Shanahan and his staff and the players. And Brock Purdy was taking off, getting loose, you know, to extend drive. So, I got to give him his credit because I've been real critical of him this season.
Well, for me, I mean, this is what I was going to say was the best game. I'm not going to lie. I mean, high scoring, we talking about, that was a total, what, one team had 34, another team had 37. We talking about, what, 70 points scored or some shit like that between both teams combined. So it was the most high scoring game. And then, I mean, as you said, man, I thought the game was over at 24-7. You feel me? They was handling their business, doing their thing. And I'm going to say three things that lost. Well, to be real, I want to say four things that lost in the game. Number one, how you just said, this the playoffs. You don't go for it. Kick the field goal. It's just that simple. I'm sorry to say it, but when you come to the playoffs, yes, it'll come to field goal game. If every single chance you got to get to kick a field goal, I never forget, not to compare Madden to real life, I never forget one of my greatest games I ever won was I kept kicking field goals. And a guy was up on me. 21-9, but I just kept kicking field goals. Now all of a sudden the game was 21-15. And I wind up winning. You feel me? Because you know, score a touchdown, extra point, this game. You feel me? So I wind up winning. Like, so I'm just saying, you got to take advantage of those field goals all day, every day, especially when you're in field goal range. We're not talking about a 50-yard field goal, to 60-yard field goal, to no shit. We're talking about the basics, 30 plus, 40 yards. That's what you pay these kickers to do, to kick those kicks, to make those kicks. You did it twice. And to me, I think they lost the game because of this. Reynolds dropped two first downs back-to-back. We talking about the Lions fumble, Jamaica's fumble, the 49ers score. The Lions are driving the ball down the field, about to be in field goal range and even touchdown range. He drops the pass. Then the 49ers score. You get the ball back and still have a chance to seal a deal and end the game. What happened again on third down? Reynolds dropped the pass. That was two drives in a row where you could have, they was first downs that could have been caught. You could have milked the clock, got a field goal, and game over. We're talking about the Lions in the Super Bowl right now. To me, those were the major things that stopped it. I want to give Brock Purdy his respect on running and this, that, and third, but it's more of the Lions lost that game, more of the 49ers won it. So let's go ahead and talk about them Ravens. Go ahead.
I agree. Chiefs beat us 17-10. Like I said, we panicked as soon as they scored. We just went into panic mode. We were only down seven. And everything just went to shit. Like, we stopped running the football. Gus had three carries for 20 yards, or 7 yards a clip. You know, so my thing is, like, why must be every time we play the Chiefs, it just becomes a showdown between Lamar and Patrick Mahomes. Football is not played this way. It's not basketball. These two players can't guard each other or be on the same field. Be on the field at the same time. They're going against each other's defenses. I get it. It's fun for fantasy football lovers and all that, but you seen what the Bills did. They gave us the blueprint. They had the 29th ranked pass run defense. Run the ball, then throw the ball, because they have two Pro Bowl corners. One of them was a pro and Trent McDuffie. So run the ball, soften them up, then play action pass. So Todd Monken got away from it. You know, Harbaugh had been the head coach. Like, man, Shannon Tubble yesterday, he got to walk up to him like, yo, hey, my Gus only got three carries, man. Come on, put the ball in his hands, man. Come on, let's run the ball. You know, soften them up. Then we're going to take all the underneath stuff. Then we're going to go over the top. Like I said, that's how Zay got the touchdown. He beat him over the top. It was going to be there. We kept running the ball. It was going to be there. He was going to see one. He was going to bring the safeties up. You know, we'll cover zero, and then we was going to take it up top. But the officiating definitely was horrible because, like I said, Travis Kelce was being a clown all game. He didn't get nothing called on. Zay got taught and called on him. You know, which I'm not mad at the call, mad at him. But if you don't call it on one, call it on the other. But we just panicked, man. The defense, second half, you know, they made the adjustments. They basically shut the Chiefs out. That's why Mike McDonald got the head coaching job now, because the Seahawks owner thought, you can put the shut on Patrick Mahomes for a second half. I like what you can do. But we just offensively didn't show up. Somehow it wasn't my fault, because he did try to force the ball and the coverage and all, and they got picked. But the offensive coordinator and the head coach has to settle the game down. Like, hey, we're not out of it. We're not down. It's like the 49ers. Shanahan letting them know, hey, we still in this thing. 17 points or not. We're going to stick to the script. They're going to make a mistake. Boom. We should have did the same. The same way how we came up against the Texans, we should have did the same thing against the Chiefs. Underneath passes, take off, Lamar, take off, run the ball, and then hit guys in the flat, hit guys going across the middle. But, you know, that stuff was open all game. But, yeah, it was disappointing, man. Like I said, Nick, you know, we definitely got to look ourselves in the mirror, because we're the better team. And we definitely had – we were going to win the Super Bowl, because the Niners or the Niners, since they won, we already smacked them in the mouth, just like we did Detroit. So we blew a golden opportunity, and I'm still upset.
Yeah, because I was either way, it was going to be a rematch. It was going to be either rematch of the Super Bowl 49ers versus the Ravens, but it definitely would have been a rematch. And you already know, we talked on the show, when the Ravens played the Lions, I had the Lions winning that game. And I was excited. That's why I picked the Ravens and Lions to go to the Super Bowl. Lions ain't never been. It's about time for Lamar Jackson to take those guys there. And I think that would have been an entertaining Super Bowl. It probably would have been high scoring, straight high scoring, because, I mean, the Ravens defense, yeah, I understand they unstoppable, and I love the Ravens defense, but I felt like the Lions would have made some adjustments. We're talking about a high-scoring game back into the 30s and shit, but to get back to the game at hand. I feel like that game was rigged. I'm out of all the games that was played, I feel like that shit was rigged. I know there's some people that's going to disagree with me and say it was this and said the reason why I would say it was rigged, I mean, how the fuck the Ravens is the number one rushing defense, number one rushing offense for years. Since Lamar Jackson has been a Baltimore Raven, the Ravens have been top five, debatable top three rushing offense for years. Not every other year, not this year, that year, this year, every year. And you go to the Chiefs and you only – your asset, what makes the Ravens strong is the running game. When you get to the game, you're one game away from the Super Bowl, you only rush the ball six times. You're the number one rushing attack. That's the equivalent of this. Patrick Mahomes. They always going to be in the top five of passing every year. He's going to be a top number one or not number two quarterback every year because of his passing ability. That's the equivalent if the Chiefs would have played us and all they did was just hand the ball off. We would have been looking at the Chiefs' strings. Why Patrick Mahomes not throwing it? Where's Kelce? Why they keep on handing it off to 10? Why they keep on doing these little gadget plays? Why they not passing it downfield? That's how I know. I would have looked at it like that. And to see that Lamar Jackson and those boys only passed the ball six times. I mean, excuse me, only ran the ball six times. To see that damn near majority game. Hey, bro, now we've been doing this for 3 years. I've been saying this for the longest. The Ravens need wide receivers. The Ravens need wide receivers. I like Zay Flowers. The Ravens need wide receivers. We're gonna take Zay Flowers and put him over there because he's legit. Zay Flowers was the only wide receiver catching passes. It said it. Out of all the completions, Zay Flowers was the only one catching passes. And all I'm going to have to say is this. I can't even get mad at Zay Flowers for, you know, trying to reach and score that touchdown and this, that, and third. I mean, but hey, when you see your team playing the way they playing and shit not going to work, you're going to do everything with all your might. And I got to say, good play by Snead and all that. But I just feel like the game was rigged. It almost gave me Madden vibes. You know how it is in Madden. You could have had to score 17 to 10 all day and throw 5 or 6 interceptions and still be in a game. And that's what they're having with the Ravens. Interceptions, turnover on downs, drop passes. Everything you could name was happening to the Ravens, and the score was still 17 to 10. It didn't go nowhere. It didn't go there. He threw an interception, turnover downs. Now we got 24. It stayed 17 to 10 the whole entire time. So Ravens, it's just that simple. Fuck it. You go get Stephon Diggs. Y'all need one more wide receiver. Baltimore Ravens, you need one more wide receiver. Because for people to say that it's because this is what you did with the cheap shit. You signed Odell Beckham, who does play like Stephon Diggs, but why you don't go get Stephon Diggs? That's what you need. You need that route runner, that young, healthy route. My prime example, when we won that Super Bowl, Anquan Boldin was still good. We didn't get Anquan Boldin with a half leg, with a half shoulder. Anquan Boldin was still good. When he left and went to the Lions and 49ers, he was still good. So you already know how good he was on the 49ers. I mean, you know how good he was on the Ravens. So all I'm going to have to say is, even though I said I want Stephon Diggs to go to the Giants, Baltimore Ravens, go get that guy. That's what you need. You need a guy who you can reliable pass the ball to all the time. You need a tight end, how you did with Dennis Pitta. You got that in Mark Andrews. Hell, you got it in Likely. And then you need that speedster, Torrey Smith, Zay Flowers. You need it. And then you'll let Rashad Bateman be that Jacoby Jones. Catch a big touchdown here and there. Some surprising shit here and there. Because I ain't going to lie, Rashad Bateman, I'm mad at you. You didn't step up even more. I don't even know if I want to blame you. But obviously, you wasn't getting open. So all I'm going to have to say is this. And what I'm going to have to say is, Ravens, don't draft a wide receiver. Go get one of these wide receivers and free agent that proved themselves. And get to the Super Bowl. How many times are you going to keep giving Raven fans heart attacks? I mean, how much are you going to keep legitimately doing this? You feel me? So all I had to say is, man, it was a great game nonetheless. Shout out to Patrick Mahomes. Don't you want to do? As I already said, he already surpassing is my favorite quarterback all the time. He surpassed Aaron Rodgers. I already said it. You feel me? But next year, do better. I think the Ravens couldn't go to the Super Bowl next year. I don't see nothing major in the AFC that's scary besides the Chiefs. Maybe the Texans, but I'm still got the Ravens going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, well said. Yeah, I agree with everything you said. Oh, that's it for tonight's show, man. Great topics for us. We'll be back, like I say, next Monday or Wednesday. Go ahead, do your thing, co-host.
Hey, man, it's been a great show with me and Big Bro, as always, man. We're going to give you the best content that we can give you and give you the best facts that we can give you, not just be opinionated and emotional with it because we're talking about our teams. At the end of the day, you can find me on Facebook. My name is Mari Savage Jr. If you can't find me on Facebook, which I know you will because it's Mari Savage Jr., you can find me on Instagram, I_AM_the_Pharaoh. That's me, baby. It's DB Life, or it ain't no life at all.
I know what I'm saying. Make sure you be great on your way to the figure eight. And always, remember the hashtag KTSC. If you don't know what it means, write down my name. Keep that same energy from your host, Justin P. And my right-hand man, the veteran of the vigilante, my co-host, your co-host, my brother, and partner in crime, my tag team partner, Mr. Mari Savage Jr. Love y'all guys. Excuse me. We'll see y'all next week. Same bad time, bad channel. We are out.